Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Our student organization, MT Lambda, is the oldest organization of its kind in the state. It gives support to the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community here on campus, and it holds its annual Pride Week in the spring semester this year from April 7th through the 12th with an extra added dimension. From the 10th through the 12th, there will be the inaugural LGBT College Conference to examine the climate for the LGBT community on campus and have an open and honest discussion about the issues faced by people on the basis of their sexual orientation and what institutions can do to make the atmosphere more friendly and diverse. With us today are Joshua Rigsby, the president of MT Lambda, and Elizabeth Viasana, who is a member of MT Lambda and also a member of the conference planning committee. We'll be right back to talk about Pride Week, right after these words from MTSUnews.com.
Here are some of the stories now on MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. MTSU students, faculty, and staff now have convenient access to a host of top-quality printing services with the opening of Blue Print Solutions on the first floor of the Student Union. The university's first retail printing center will provide state-of-the-art printing capabilities now available to the campus community. Military Times has named the MTSU Jones College of Business among its Best for Vets Business School 2014 rankings. The Jones College is one of 64 schools in the country to have made this list. And a new exhibit showcasing photos from six decades of country music captured by the lenses of three distinguished photographers is on display in MTSU's nationally renowned Baldwin Photographic Gallery through April 17th. Images of Country features the work of Harold Baldwin, Jim McGuire, and Russ Harrington. For MTSU News at any time, go to MTSUnews.com.
Joshua and Elizabeth, thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome. Okay. We're glad to be here.
Josh, the Pride Week is, as I said, not new, but the college conference is not only new, it is really groundbreaking. This has never been done at a university in the state of Tennessee on such a comprehensive level, has it?
Correct. It's not been. There have been other conferences done around the state, but none of them have been specifically for the entire state of Tennessee.
And all the issues will be pertaining to diversity, or will there be some issues that are of interest to the general campus population as well? The problem with diversity issues on campus is that sometimes when there's this group and that group, and the issues tend to get ghettoized, and it doesn't really work unless people of all different kinds of backgrounds come together for the same goal and the same purpose.
Correct. I would say the answer is both of those things. Every campus is going to be different. Every campus is going to have their own unique challenges that their students have to face. We at MTSU are very fortunate that we do have such a diverse campus and such a welcoming administration here, but we're still faced with the issue that the state does not define diversity with the inclusion of LGBT. So that goes for all the schools in the state of Tennessee. Those students are still not included under the state's definition of diversity. And so all of the programming that these individual groups do on their campuses benefit not only their LGBT community, but also serves to educate the entire campus body.
Anecdotally, what do you hear from gay and lesbian college students across the state about the challenges that they're facing?
UT Knoxville, for instance, the students face a very different climate there than the students at University of Memphis. Memphis is in a Democratic county, and UT Knoxville is in a Republican county, and so obviously the political pressures that bear on the universities are different, and that trickles down to create different campus climates. The students that we spoke to about the conference have all been very excited because they do understand that none of this has ever been done before, especially in West Tennessee. They tend to be their own little entity apart from Middle and East Tennessee, and so they're very excited to come and be part of the conversation.
Elizabeth, what is it like trying to arrange the logistics for something of this magnitude, especially since it's never been done before?
It's pretty intense. We're trying to make sure that we have everyone that we can possibly include included. It's really intense.
And your keynote speaker is Elizabeth Birch. Tell us a little bit about her.
That's our primary keynote speaker. We have a couple of smaller ones, but Elizabeth Birch was the executive director for the Human Rights Campaign, the National HRC, for over a decade. And she also worked with Apple for several years. And so we're extremely excited to have her come down and speak.
And you did something which I think was extremely savvy in getting some corporate sponsors to back the conference to show that this issue is not a niche issue, that it has broad ramifications across the board. Tell us a little bit about what that was like in your approaching these organizations and trying to get them to support the conference.
Well, we brought Chaz Bono here last year for Spring Out, and Chaz Bono brought in almost 600 individuals. And he's Sonny and Cher's son, most notably. He's also a huge transgender activist. And I met a woman by the name of Diane Esther, who works for Deloitte, and she's now the chair of our corporate conference committee. And Deloitte is one of our two presenting sponsors, as is Nissan. And we're extremely thrilled to have their support. And we're looking forward to working with them, not just with this conference, but also at future conferences as well.
Elizabeth, what does belonging to MT Lambda mean to you as a student here at MTSU?
I love being a member of Lambda. I like that we're so diverse and we're very inclusive. We try really hard to make sure that we include as many people as we can. We do a lot of educational things, a lot of tablings that we do. It's a good way to get people involved and like really, really talking about what's going on.
We'll be back in just a moment to talk about some of the specific events on tap for Pride Week. This is MTSU on the Record.
The Intercultural and Diversity Affairs Center helps to promote awareness and understanding of the wide variety of cultures represented at MTSU. The center provides information, referrals, and resources. Additionally, IDAC tries to make students from different cultures feel welcome and comfortable on campus so they can have every opportunity to fulfill their academic, social, and personal potential. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Joshua Rigsby and Elizabeth Villasana from MT Lambda about Pride Week, which is April 7th through the 12th, and the unique LGBT Plus College Conference, which is slated for the 10th through the 12th of April. What are some of the specific events? I understand there's going to be a bake sale and a drag show, so it sort of spans the gamut of all different kinds of fun stuff that you're into.
Well, Spring Out started in 2003, and since then, every year, there's been some events that shuffle up and change. But there's also been some events that stay the same. For instance, on Monday morning, we're going to have Attapalooza, which will be I believe, in front of the Student Union on the Commons area, and it's just a big celebration. It's kind of like a small actual Pride festival, and we'll have some tents set up and other organizations out there with us just kind of celebrating the community. It's a fun event. We'll have some music. That night, we have our Spring Out Drag Out, which is our spring drag show that we do, and that'll be in the James Union, Tennessee room. Tickets to that are $5 general admission, $10 for VIP, and those go up at the door by $5. Tuesday, we're doing a no-hate photo booth on the Spring Out or on the Student Union Commons, and that's just like the national no-hate campaign that you've seen with a white background and the duct tape over their mouth and the no-hate symbol on their cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday, we're doing an asexuality tabling, and we're pairing that up with a bake sale. Asexuals are just a part of the community. They're not specifically LGBT, but they're one of the many other letters that are included. That night, we're having our third and final lecture in our Spectrum Lecture Series. It's Flags of Our Fathers. Homophobia disguised as patriotism. Dr. Pat Ritchie, who's the advisor for the Veterans Organization on campus, is going to be presenting that. And really what brought that about was really the dialogue over the flag in October. And he approached us with the topic, and we wanted to just have an open discussion about the use of patriotism to disguise individual homophobia around the country. And then that really ends off the core piece of Spring Out, and then that leads up into the conference that's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Because for the 40-plus crowd, this is a re-education and a readjustment period. And I don't think it was easy even for Cher. Didn't Chaz talk about that when he was here?
Yeah, when Chaz was here, he said that it took Cher a year away from him after he came out as a trans man to her. And me personally, when we drove him back to the airport, that was something I talked to him about. I was like, you know, that shocks me.
Because Cher is such a gay icon.
Because Cher is Cher. Like, you have her name in your phone as Mom, not as Cher. And I can't believe that she would have a hard time dealing with it. But, you know, the thing you've got to keep in mind is Cher is a human being, and Cher is a mother before she's Cher. And so those things come first in her life. And it took her, I think he said it took her a year. So it's not just the uneducated who have a hard time dealing with this. It's the most open and most accepting sometimes who also have to reevaluate their personal positions in life and go, okay, maybe I've got to do a little bit of education, or maybe I've got to learn to be okay with this.
I think it's the closer you are to a situation, the more you have to become aware of the issues.
The closer you are to actual human beings, the harder it is to stereotype and generalize.
Exactly. Yep.
We'll be right back with more on MTSU on the Record after this.
The mission of the June Anderson Center for Women and Non-Traditional Students is to provide education, advocacy, direct services, outreach, and programming for the MTSU campus and surrounding community on gender-related issues. The center also assists older students who are trying to balance work, college, and family. It also sponsors a monthly legal clinic, career brown bag series, book club, and a newsletter twice a year. For all of the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're here talking about the LGBT Plus College Conference, which is slated for April the 10th through the 12th. It's all part of Pride Week, which is April 7th through the 12th here at MTSU. And Josh Rigsby and Elizabeth Viasana from MT Lambda are talking about it with us. Let's talk about a little bit how things have changed on the national level, the state and the national level. The most recent court decision in Tennessee regarding same-sex marriage, I think probably came as a big shock to a lot of people in the national media who have their own ideas about what Tennessee is like. And Tennessee is very definitely a red state. It's not a blue state. It's not a purple state. It's maroon. It is, though, indicative of the fact that Tennessee is not isolated from the growing national trend of enlightenment on issues pertaining to sexual orientation.
The decision that the courts made did not surprise me, because when the Supreme Court struck down DOMA, they knew what they were doing, and they knew that it would just take time for everything to snowball around the country. And the thing to keep in mind is, all lawmakers, when they get sworn in, they do swear in putting their hand on the Bible, but they swear to uphold the Constitution. And the Constitution says that Congress shall pass no law respecting the establishment of any religion. And that is what all these laws do that try to outlaw same-sex marriage, is that they are founded in primarily the Christian Bible and Judeo-Christian tradition. And unfortunately, we live in a country, or I should say fortunately, we live in a country where it is not okay to make laws that are based on religion. And federal judges all across the country understand that quite clearly. They're extremely well educated, and they're making the decisions that are going to be on the right side of history. And so we are going to see same-sex marriage coming to Tennessee, and people here in Tennessee may not like that. But in 2006, when they outlawed it, I was a senior in high school, and it was over 80% that was against same-sex marriage. Now it's 64, so that's already dropped 20%. We're really close to the 50-50 mark in Tennessee for people who oppose it and people who support it. And so Tennessee might be a really red state, but this is a swing issue. Right now, young Republicans, 64% of them are on the side with same-sex marriage. They're fine with it. It doesn't bother them. And so as the older Republicans age out and younger Republicans come in, this is going to become less of a hot issue. One of our members is married. She has two children. She's married to a woman. And Tennessee does not recognize their marriage. However, her FAFSA financial aid, all of her FAFSA forms are federal. That's a federal document that's done federally. The federal government does recognize her marriage. And so she had her financial aid cut. And there's nothing that anyone can do about it, because federally she's married, but in the state in which the financial aid is processed, she is not married. And that is a huge problem, because it's punishing her simply because same-sex marriage isn't legal here in Tennessee. And it's issues like that all across the country that are going to be the deciding factor.
I don't know if your crystal ball is working today or not, but if you had to guess, how long do you think it'll be before same-sex marriage is legal in all 50 states?
We're looking at 2 to 5 years.
Really?
I definitely believe we're looking at 2 to 5 years. Just a few weeks ago, there were 6 new cases that were submitted all in one day. That's huge.
So you think it'll be through a judicial decision at the Supreme Court level instead of through legislation in the Congress?
Yes. Originally, when the Supreme Court knocked it down, I thought, okay, 5 years, someone else is going to push up a case all the way challenging the whole country, and the Supreme Court's going to say, it's all done, everyone can get married. Mm-hmm. But just since over the summer, handfuls of states have just started to stand up and legalize it. And as soon as Hawaii legalized it, I laughed, and I'm like, well, we should just stop now. We can all get married in Hawaii and go on honeymoons right there in Hawaii. We're all good to go.
Put Gavin Newsom's number on speed dial and do it in California.
It is going to be federal judges and individual Supreme Court rulings across the country that are going to allow for same-sex couples to get married in every state. And right now, you know, it's those three couples that were legally married in other states and they've moved to Tennessee. And people go, okay, well, Tennessee's safe. Well, Tennessee isn't in danger, so you shouldn't say that Tennessee is safe. But that is a huge win, and it's really symbolic of what's about to start happening here in the South. I mean, Virginia, I believe, just legalized it. That's the first Southern state to legalize same-sex marriage.
We'll return in just a moment. This is MTSU on the Record.
MTSU's Jewish and Holocaust Studies minor offers undergraduate students a chance to study the culture and religion of the Jewish people and the Holocaust in an interdisciplinary program. Studies include history and culture, theology and philosophy, and the arts and social sciences. Courses tackle vital topics central to local and global awareness, including multiculturalism and the meanings of diversity, religious tolerance, and genocide. For the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Josh Rigsby and Elizabeth Viasana from MT Lambda. Do you think that discrimination in employment is still much of an issue? Do you feel that you're going to have to, in order to what people used to call assimilate, which is the ugly term for trying to be like the white straight majority, will you have to quote-unquote play straight or be someone other than your true authentic self for the sake of getting a job and keeping a job with an employer?
The term for that is heteronormativity.
Okay.
And I think it depends on really what the job market is. Where are you trying to go to get a job? Not to be stereotypical, but if you go work in a hair salon versus working on a construction site, the attitudes of the coworkers you're going to have are probably going to be a little different.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that the federal government needs to go ahead and pass ENDA and allow for LGBT individuals to be protected in the workplace.
Now, explain what that legislation is.
It's a non-discrimination policy that includes LGBT individuals. Men and women in Congress, they're urging the president to pass an executive order that would allow for federal contractors to have to include LGBT in their non-discrimination policies. And what that means is federal contractors could not discriminate against you because you're gay or because you're transgender.
We've spoken off the air about the admissions form and the need to collect demographic data by having blanks on the admissions form that enable people to state their sexual orientation. Do you think that the Tennessee Board of Regents is going to allow their member schools to do that?
I'm not sure. It's still an extremely new topic all across the country. There's a little over a dozen, I believe, institutions, 4 and 2 year, public and private, who have changed their admissions form. And really what we're finding is 30% to 60% of LGBT individuals in college realize they're LGBT or come out as LGBT while they're in college. That's a huge life adjustment. Specifically for those without family support, it is most crucial for their institutions to provide them with the necessary resources to ensure their overall success. If we don't collect the data that identifies which students on our campus identify as LGBT, we have no way of knowing that they need special resources directed to them. And when I say special, I don't mean different, but there needs to be someone who is looking at a computer going, these are LGBT students. This is their first year in school. Their grades are slipping.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're slipping because there's some kind of outside pressure we don't know about since they're LGBT. Maybe they're having a hard time at home. Maybe they're being bullied in their dorm. There is no way to know. They have issues with housing, making sure they're in a safe environment, making sure they are protected. And collecting all this data on the admissions form would ensure that we're able to make sure that these students are not being swept under the rug. We need this data to ensure that all of our students are as successful as they can possibly be.
Elizabeth, you know that Vanderbilt has its own brick-and-mortar LGBT queer center with a director who is a university employee. Would you like to see that kind of facility here at MTSU?
Absolutely. I think it's a place for LGBT plus individuals to feel safe and accepted entirely. And I think it's a good place of a good source of resources and information. I think it'd be really, really good thing to have.
I think there are numerous benefits. A lot of research has been shown that or been done that shows endorsing LGBT students with open arms actually raises your admission numbers in the straight community.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are straight students. This younger generation are accepting of same-sex individuals,
right,
and same-sex relationships, and so it's not a problem for them.
Right. The straight students are not afraid to be associated with,
correct,
or be called names by ignorant people because some of their friends happen to be from the LGBT community.
Correct. If I can look at an institution that I think I want to go to school at, and if that institution treats the most underserved group of students on their campus with the full respect that they treat all the other students with, that is a great school to go to. And so when universities don't have staff people, when institutions don't have any kind of official presence of LGBT issues at a university level, they are sending an implicit message, whether they realize it or not. And I think that having a center stops that from happening. It allows for an educational access point for the entire student body. It allows for the a way to ensure that we're including LGBT in all of our classes, especially in our history classes, our English classes, making sure that we can talk about LGBT people whenever we can. Most notably in history classes, you know, many people don't realize that gays and lesbians were locked up in concentration camps with the Jews,
mm-hmm,
during the Holocaust.
They were made to wear pink triangles, right?
The men were made to wear pink triangles. Women, the Nazis looked at lesbians differently than they looked at men. Then they looked at gay men. Women had to wear black triangles. And so on our 25-year crest, you can see a pink triangle, but it's outlined with a black edge,
mm-hmm,
because we wanted to have them both on there. And when the Allies won the war, they left gay and lesbians in the work camps to work out the rest of their quote-unquote term in the camps. And so they freed everyone else but the gays and lesbians.
I really like reading about different people. There are people in the community that I didn't even realize were a part of the community.
And this may actually upset people, but the man who wrote the King James Bible, there is a ton of historical data that outlines he was bisexual, and that bothers a lot of people. So if you've got a King James Bible at home, you're holding a book that a bisexual guy wrote.
We'll take one more break. We'll be right back. This is MTSU on the Record.
The Concrete Industry Management Program at MTSU fills the need for trained personnel who know concrete technology and techniques. Our alumni go into the marketplace grounded in basic math and science and able to promote products or services related to the industry. Our participation in the Academic Common Market ensures talented students in other states a chance to enroll on an in-state tuition basis. This is Dr. Heather Brown, Director of the program.
To find out more information on this or other university programs, visit mtsunews.com.
In our final moments with Joshua Rigsby and Elizabeth Viasana talking about Pride Week here at MTSU, the key phrase at universities in the state of Tennessee now, especially the Tennessee Board of Regents state-supported schools, is retention and graduation, which is a big issue for all kinds of students. But I'd like to take a different slant on it with regard to the LGBT community and talk about how this affects retention and graduation from the standpoint of people who may be bullied, who may have difficulties that they are feel make them feel that they are alone, that they don't have anyone to turn to, and to the extent that that might actually lead to someone dropping out of college and abandoning their college career. Could y'all discuss that? Have you had any peers who felt that way to the point that they would really just drop out of college and say, the heck with it?
When an incident of discrimination or harassment occurs because a student is LGBT, whether it be from a faculty person, a university staff individual, or another student. Students need to first realize that that is a reportable incident. And if they have not been taught through university staff and university events that that is a reportable incident and that there is someone to go to, oftentimes these occurrences are never reported. And since we don't collect data on the admissions form, there's no way for Judicial Affairs to keep a record of any incidents that are directly a result of LGBT discrimination or harassment. Something to think about is every little thing that happens to an individual when they're LGBT, they've got the weight of the world on their shoulders. And let's say, as an example, a professor says something extremely discriminatory or derogatory about a lesbian. If you have a lesbian student in the room, what do you think that does to their emotional stability?
It really might make you think that you're not likely to get a very good grade out of this particular professor, even if you do your best possible work.
Exactly. Not just that, but if a professor who was supposed to be a safe individual to be around, if they're willing to say something derogatory about who you are as a person, how do you know you can go to another university official and that individual not have the same response? And I'm not talking just about MTSU. I mean generically at higher education institutions. Having a university staff person who was in charge of LGBT issues sends a clear message to the student body that you are protected. And so when small incidents like that occur, they have someone they can go to, they can sit down with and say, look, this has happened. What can we do about it? Currently, there is no staff person. And students do not feel MTSU currently has no staff person. And so if something like that were to occur or has occurred, students don't feel that it's safe for them to go and report it because that professor holds their grade and their whole life in their hand, especially if that professor is in the higher-up courses for their major. They're much likely to have that professor again. They are more likely to have them again than they are to have a gen ed teacher. And so they may be less interested in reporting it, or the fear may be amplified, because if they win the professor on this issue and they get an A but they cause a stir with this, that professor is not going to forget that. If you have that individual again for another class, that could just be another problem down the road and it's not really addressing anything.
And if you're going to graduate school, the mentor-protege relationship is crucial to success in getting a master's or a PhD.
Absolutely.
What do people need to do if they want more information about either Pride Week or the conference?
Easiest way to find it is to go to our Facebook page. It's real simple. It's facebook.com/MTLambda, MTLAMBDA. You can also find us in the University A to Z Index under Lambda Association, and that goes to our university website, and that will link you to the conference website. The conference is free for students, faculty, and staff at a higher education institution. If you're a community individual, you would like to attend, it's a $100 patron sponsorship to come. That's 100% tax deductible contribution to the event.
Joshua and Elizabeth, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having us.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.